This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. This is Easter Sunday morning, and many of you have or will perhaps go to a church service that celebrates the resurrection of the Lord on Easter Sunday. Now, again, I want to break away from what we've been studying in Luke for this Sunday again and spend a little time on the resurrection of the Lord. But if you'd like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program, and you can contact me through either the website or my mailing address. The website has a lot of information that you may be interested in. And again, if you want to leave prayer requests or be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, just contact me either by regular mail or through the website, and I'll make sure that I respond to whatever needs you have expressed to me. Now, as we go into this Sunday morning, I want to think about Psalm 16:10. I mentioned it last time, and perhaps before I read Psalm 16:10, I should read Acts 2, verses 25 through 32, so that we can understand the context in the New Testament of the 16th Psalm. In Acts 2, David says concerning him, concerning the Lord, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades." That's really the unseen state here. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." And then he says, after quoting from Acts chapter, or from Psalm chapter 16, he says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David." That was the King David that he's referring to. He calls him a father or a patriarch here. "That he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet," so King David in his Psalms is writing prophetic material, "therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, which we are, of which we are all witnesses." Now, the 16th Psalm, verse 10 says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol." Now, the New Testament translation of that is Hades. Sheol and Hades are often used to refer to the place where the dead of this dispensation go when they die without Christ. But Sheol was more than that. It was an unseen state and often just represented the grave. The Lord did his suffering for our sins on the cross. He did not suffer for our sins after he died in Sheol. Sheol was the unseen state. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." So the Lord, who died for our sins on the cross, was placed in a tomb and was raised again the third day. When we look at the resurrection, we read that it is the proof that Christ has the power and authority to save. I like to tie this into Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, this is a very important verse in the New Testament because it tells us how to be saved. Some misread this and think that if you make a public confession, you're automatically saved, but that isn't what the verses say. It says if you make a public confession, that results from a conviction, belief in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you're saved. And so I look at this and I see first the necessity to be convinced that Christ died, was buried, and was raised again the third day, that he's real, that he sits at the Father's right hand. We need to be convinced of that, and we need to be convinced that his sacrifice for sins is the sacrifice for our sins. And when we are convinced of that, we will confess with our mouth, and we will tell others that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not do that right away, but we will do it. I know that with regard to the story of Nicodemus, he was saved in John chapter 3, and I don't think he really publicly confessed the Lord, at least in a public sense, until John 19, although he likely had talked with Joseph of Arimathea about this before he confessed publicly in John 19. But that confession will come, and with that confession will come joy, and that confession will give us an added sense of assurance and joy and security in Christ. But it's the believing in our heart that saves, and it's because Christ was raised from the dead that we have something to believe in, because that's the proof that God was satisfied with his Son, and that the Lord Jesus did not die for his own sins, but that he died for our sins. When I used to read Romans 10 and 9, it confused me, because I thought when I got saved, I believed that Christ died for me. And Romans 10 says that I have to believe that God raised him from the dead. And that was not really the foremost thing in my mind when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Perhaps should have been, but it wasn't. But one day I realized that if you believe that God has raised him from the dead, you can't believe that unless you also believe that he died for your sins. Christ had to die in order for us to believe that he was raised from the dead. So when we believe that he's raised from the dead, we are believing that he died. And when we believe that he died for us, and that is a personal conviction of our heart, and we receive him by faith, we are saved. But remember, the believing comes before the confession, and the confession that he was raised from the dead implies that you believe that he died. In 1 Corinthians 15, we find that the gospel that Paul presented was very simple, how he presents the truth, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, that is. He was buried. You don't bury a man who hasn't died. Some would like to say Christ didn't really die, but because he was buried, we know he was fully dead in the physical sense, and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel that God had Paul present as he preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, as you go through the Acts of the Apostles, the thing that seems to be their message was that they had seen the risen Christ. And because they had seen the risen Christ, because Christ had been raised from the dead, they knew that people could depend on him as the Messiah, as the Savior of sinners. But the resurrection from the dead was important to them. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, after the gospel is preached, as we've read part of it here in this passage, after the gospel was preached, it says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, I've always preached and will continue to preach that the apostles' doctrine is found in the epistles that are written from Romans through the book of Jude, that those epistles are the apostles' doctrine. Now, some were written by the Lord's brother. They weren't written specifically by apostles, but we do know that Paul and Peter and James wrote and Jude wrote those, and particularly Paul and Peter, we know, were apostles. So the apostles' doctrine is found there. But specifically in Acts chapter 2, he's probably referring to the fact that in Acts 2, he's preaching that they crucified the Messiah, and God has raised him from the dead. And when it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, I think they were continuing steadfastly in the settled confidence that Christ had been raised from the dead, because in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul goes through the witnesses that had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And in one case, there were 500 that saw him at one time. I don't know when that took place, but it appears that there was a time when over 500 saw him at one time. Now, the at one time may be somewhat symbolic, but I suspect that it was an event where 500 people saw him. Maybe there were more than just a few that went with him out to the Mount of Olives when he was taken up from them into the heavens. And told, and was, and they were told by the angels that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. But the whole of the gospel rests on the truth that Christ died, was buried, and was raised again according to the scriptures. And Psalm 16 is one of the scriptures that was being fulfilled when he was raised again from the dead. Now, my question to you today is, do you really believe in the resurrection of Christ? It really doesn't matter if you believe he died on Thursday or Friday, or maybe even Wednesday, and was raised again on Sunday. I personally believe he was probably crucified on Friday, because as I study the Old Testament feasts, it appears that the Passover was on the 14th of that month, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was on the 15th of that month, and the Feast of First Fruits was on the 16th of that month, and the 16th would have been a Sunday, and it's quite clear in my mind that the Lord was raised from the dead on Sunday. So I'm settled in my mind about this, but even if you believe that my chronology is off, you can't believe that the event didn't happen and be saved, because the fact that we have a living Savior separates Christianity from every other philosophy and religion in the world. It's important that we grasp the importance of the resurrection and the reality of the resurrection. We're going to meet our Savior. I personally believe when we cross over to the other side, when we as Christians die, the first person, the first thing we see is the Lord Jesus. Now, I've got scripture to convince me of that. I can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I believe that to be true, that he's the one we see, and we meet the one who loved us because he's been raised from the dead. And I believe the gospel is secured by the truth that Christ has been raised from the dead, and that God is satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son because the Lord Jesus lives. We sometimes sing a song, if I can get it right here, I don't want to get it wrong. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And today we celebrate that. Actually, we celebrate it every Sunday when we remember the Lord and the taking of a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. But in particular today, we celebrate that as we think that Christ has been raised from the dead. Satan was not the victor. Christ was the victor. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose, and I hope you believe that and that you trust in the risen Savior today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon our listeners. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.